Open your Bibles to John chapter 17. And Lord, we thank you that late in the midnight hour, you have already turned it around. We just have to go through the process. You've already worked it out. So we're so grateful, Lord, we can trust you and we can confide in you, Lord. And we bless you. And then you bless us even when we don't deserve it. But we say thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school classes, Lord, how you've already showed yourself strong to the men, the women, the youth, and
thank you, Lord.
Praise and worship, answering questions and giving us peace as we worship you and just cast all our cares upon you because we know that you care for us, Lord. And then here we are asking that you would breathe upon your word, Lord. Let it be life and breath and living water. Let it refresh our souls. Thank you that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through this dark, fallen, broken, decaying world. So we bless you and we love you, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, continue to lead, guide, and direct. We open our hearts and minds to receive what God is speaking to us through his word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are at John 17, verse 20. We've been going through the entire book of John. I'm sorry, the entire chapter of John, verse 17. Starts off with Jesus praying. Prayed for himself. Prayed for the disciples. And now he's praying for us. This is the night before Jesus is going to be arrested and killed. He takes time to pray for us. That's pretty remarkable. And you know, we thank God that Jesus isn't like us. Because we know the night before something's getting ready to go down like that, we're probably not thinking about other people. Not praying for them, maybe praying for something else. It's the whole irony of it, how Jesus, and he says it in verse, getting a little ahead of myself, but in verse 24, he says, Father, I wish my desire is that where I am, the disciples will be, and my followers would be also. So you say, why would Jesus pray for us? Because he wants us to be where he is. Then he proves that by dying for our sins and being the bridge for us to get back to him. But think about it. I mean, if we just kind of flip the script and, you know, because most people don't think about God or to get or until they like on their deathbed. I can't say most people, but some people do. And all of a sudden they want to look to God and want to know about him. Imagine if that's those of us that are married that, you know, we live recklessly and ignore our spouse and no intimacy, no heart-to-heart sharing, no quality time. And then I'm on my deathbed and say, honey, you know, I want to get to know you a little bit better. if she's going to be there, thank you, Brother Chris. And that's no relationship, and that's not the way we should treat God. Family, we got to make time. You spend time with those that you love. And we have to flip the script and start making time and taking time for Jesus because we do it for everything else that we want to get involved with. So as I'm going through this, and those of you who take notes, I want to give you three things that God ministered to my heart when I was going through this. As I was studying, because as I'm studying, God's speaking to my heart. And I'm staying open to what God is telling me, as Catherine was saying, that she's in her worship time and God speaks songs to her and minister this. I'm going one way, but then God gives me three themes and he's three questions. And the first question he asked me, is God enough? As we go through these verses, I'm going to ask you again, is God enough? That was number one. And then number two, if you say God is enough, then number two is, do we really believe that God is enough? I can say, yeah, yeah, God is enough, but then do I really believe that God is enough? Then the third question which comes out of these verses is, what is your agenda? What is your agenda? I know, I'm like, Lord, Lord. That's me, because God says, Jesus is praying that we would be one. And so that one means God wants us on the same page, that everyone that comes in here, we have the same agenda. What's our agenda? We want to seek and save those that are life, that are lost. We want to make disciples. We want to build the kingdom of God. But I have to ask, is what is your agenda? That's when God is saying, I want them to be one. As we are one, what is God's agenda? God is, we got to save these folks. Jesus, you have to go on a rescue mission to rescue them. They're lost, dying, going to hell. That's the agenda. Okay, go run the play. And so Jesus is praying for us to be one. And then he's asking, but what's your agenda? Why do you come to church? Why do you not come to church? Why do you go to your job? What do you go to school for? To make a grade? Is that really the agenda? Or is there someone lost at somebody's school that needs to hear the gospel? Somebody on your job that needs to hear the gospel? Why do you go to work to complain about it? What is your agenda? God said they need to be one. I think we have the wrong idea about this thing. We have to run. That's why God is praying for us to be one as they are one. We all have to have the same agenda. We might not have the same method, but the agenda has to be the same. And remember, our agenda, even as a pastor, my agenda is not to get people to come to church, because you got plenty of people going to church ain't even saved. Somebody say amen. It ain't to get the people to come to church. It's about introducing people to Jesus Christ and making disciples. Building lives through the gospel. Being on that rescue mission, planting a seed, then someone waters and God gives the increase. That's the agenda. So whatever we do here at South Bay Abundant Life Church, we need to have the same agenda. You all, we do all different things, but the agenda is we're making disciples. We're trying to build the kingdom of God. Yeah, that takes us out of the equation and let God come into the equation. And that's where Jesus is saying, let them be one as we are one. He's saying they have to have the same agenda. A house divided cannot stand. We're not trying to build ourselves up. We're trying to build Christ up. So here we go. So let's start with a review. Let's start with a quick review. Let's start at verse 17, 15. Oh, Natalie, did I tell you we're going to be all over the place this morning? I forgot to mention that. We're all over the place this morning. We'll try and keep it contained. This is our, I already know this is going to be two parts, at least two, right? Okay, quick review, because we've gone over this before. 17:15. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. So God is saying, Jesus is saying, don't take them out, Lord. Get them through. Don't give them the easy way out. Don't give them the exit door. Don't give them the chicken exit like it used to be at Magic Mountain. If you didn't want to get on that revolution, they had a little chicken exit door. You get all the way up and you change your mind. You say, yeah, I'm not going to do it. That's what us old school folks at Magic Mountain, when the revolution was the hottest thing out. Taking that loop. That chicken exit was right there. Somebody say amen. I remember going with my girlfriend, my beautiful girlfriend, and she hit that chicken exit. I had to ride alone. You remember that chicken exit, honey? Yes, I do. Amen. But Jesus is saying, I'm not giving you the chicken exit. You got to go through. Family, there's some stuff we got to go through. And he's praying. Think about that. Jesus is praying for us right now. But then, let me get ahead of myself. Look at verse 20. He said, neither I pray for these alone. He's talking about the disciples, but for them which should also believe on me through their. How did Jesus know that we're going to believe on him through their word and through the word? Ain't nobody going to. That's like me saying people going to believe. How you know that? Nobody cares about you. You think you all that. What do you say? You're a legend in your own mind, but nobody really cares. You believe in yourself, but ain't nobody buying what you're selling. But Jesus said, look, it's going to be folks sitting in a church. Sunday, May 21st, 2017. And I'm going to pray for them. Not that you take them out, Lord, but that you get them through. Not going to give them the easy way because I'm trying to develop and build and purge them through the process. God is the potter and we are the clay, and he has to squeeze us so we can look just like what he wants. So he said, I'm not going to pray that you get them out. Pray that you get them through. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. We're here, but this is not our home. We are just passing through. Don't get too comfortable. I know, but it is. We're just passing through. But it's really hard not to buy what the world is selling. It pulls you in and tells you got to look like this. You got to act like if you're going to be something, you got to have this. You got to have that. Jesus said, don't get caught up. This is not our home. We're just passing through. Verse 17. This is all review. Sanctify them through your word. Your word is truth. We have to be set apart. We have to be sanctified. We have to be washed through the word. Brother Mickey and I, we always talk about getting brainwashed with the world because the world puts all this images and stuff and music and TV and anything else they can, and social media puts it, and you, if you don't wash your brain daily, all right, just like you shower daily, you better wash your word with that mind daily. Amen. I hope you shower daily, all right? If not, please start. And then you shower and then you wash your mind with the word. Yes, we all need to have a nice, thorough brainwash daily with the word of God. It's just too much going on out there. Brother Chris and I were talking this morning, and just you miss a Sunday, you'd be surprised how much garbage just attaches itself to you. So in addition to coming to church daily, we should be washing our mind and washing our thoughts and our hearts with the word. Sanctify them through the word. The word is the truth. That's why we got to be sanctified with the word. The difference between a truth and a lie. The world has given us a bunch of lies. So we got to be washed with the truth. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. Listen, you cannot go into this world and be effective if you're not sanctified. If your mind isn't washed. There's no way we can be victorious in the world working for God if we're not sanctified through the word. Because if you're not sanctified, you will be compromised. If you're not sanctified, you will compromise. We've tried it. It doesn't work without the Lord. And then verse 19, one of my favorites. Because I like the comparison. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. We are sanctified through Jesus Christ. We're cleansed through Jesus Christ because he lived a sinless life. He sanctified us. We use the analogy that you can't get clean through dirty bath water. You can't. It's going to always be that ring around the tub, and you get in and try and get clean, you're going to come out with a ring around you. But because Jesus was sanctified, there's no ring around the tub. So we get in and we get out and we're clean. Can't do it ourselves. We're sanctified. So now that he sanctifies us, then he sent us out. We have to continue to be washed and cleansed through the word. And that's daily. Nothing else that can cleanse us but the word. There's a lot of copies out there. Say, if you do this or do that, then you'll be sanctified, you'll be cleansed, or you'll feel better, you'll be something. But nothing cleanses us but Jesus Christ. Says he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to him but through Christ. No man gets to God but through Christ. People tell you there are other ways and you can do this and that, but the word is pretty clear. That's why, is God enough, and do we really believe that God is enough? So we're going through in the Bible study, we're going through the book of Numbers, and they just numbered off 600 and something thousand people. we're trying to figure out, why would God have all this listed in the Bible? There's three things or four things God was speaking to us. God is a God of order, specifics, and detail. God is specific, God is orderly, and God is detailed. He was detailed in the Old Testament. He's detailed in the New Testament. So Jesus, if he says he's the way, the truth, and the life, that's order, specific, and details. Oh, well, I'm going to try something else. If he say, when you build those curtains, you put the hooks right here, and you put gold, and you put silver, and you say, oh, man, I just do what I want to do. Okay. There's an order to it. So remember, he's God of specifics and details. And then the world tries to give us another way, but the best the world can do, I think I said it before, the best we can do outside of Christ is exclusive access to temporary stuff. It's the best we can do. All the world has to offer us, we can get exclusive access to temporary stuff, depending on your so-called worldly status or how much money you have. Right? Some of us will go to Motel 6, spend the night. It has a bed. It has a TV. It has internet access. Somebody else will go to Embassy Suites. Has a bed, TV, internet access. Somebody else will go to the Ritz-Carlton. Ooh. Somebody else will go to the Waldorf Astoria and get the presidential suite. It's temporary, exclusive access to temporary stuff. At the end of the day, all I did was spend the night in another bed that wasn't mine. And said, ooh, but we stayed in the presidential suite. We rented a Bentley. Well, I rented a Prius. Okay. I got to where I was going. You have exclusive access to temporary stuff? So do I. Just a different level. That's the best. You can't get cleansed through this stuff. We were doing a thing the other week, and one of the speakers, one of my buddies, said the only thing we can take to heaven with us is other people. The only thing we can do, only thing we can take to heaven with us is other people. So why do we waste so much time with this other stuff? But is God enough? And do we really believe that God is enough? And then what is our agenda? That's what God's speaking. So I was trying to study. Say, God, what am I speak on this morning? I want to speak on this. I want to give a feel-good message. This is going to feel good. It's going to hurt at the beginning, but it's going to feel good later. Amen. When we line it up. All right, so let's go to verse 20. Let's keep this train moving. It says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That is so profound. Jesus knew that we would believe in him. That's incredible. It's the power of God. I mean, we're talking 2017 years later. We read last time in Romans 8 how Jesus is making intercessions for us right now. It's not just praying for the men that and women that were there with him, but for us. Then verse 21, what is he praying? That they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Somebody write down one in us, that we all have the same agenda that Christ and God had. Then he says that the world might believe, underline believe, that you have sent me. By us being on one accord, having the same agenda, somebody will say, you know what? There's something attractive about that. It's something attractive about that. And they would believe. That believe means to commit, trust, and surrender. That's what believe. So underline believe. We'll talk about that a little bit further. And when someone would walk through these doors here at South Bay Abundant Life Church, they would see that we have the agenda that we love God. We love God's people. And they say, maybe it's something to this Jesus stuff. When we are one, we have the same agenda. Verse 22, and the glory which thou gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So God has given us his glory. The glory, we know that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. I told you I love that word. That word glory in the Greek is doxa, D-O-X-A. God's given us his doxa. I like it. Okay. But his brilliance, his radiance, his brightness. God said he's created us as a special treasure. We shouldn't live like trash. He's given that to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, I've given it because without the Holy Spirit, we can't become one. We can't humble ourselves enough to be one. So God's given it to us. You can walk around and your light can shine because God's given it to you. We can walk around and we can all get along and we can all be on one accord about the agenda of what God and Jesus had because he's given it to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can do it. It takes an effort, but we can do it. So when the world sees that, then people start believing that is something to it. Doesn't mean we get along all the time. We already know we can agree to disagree, but we got to agree on the agenda. You might want to do it this way. I might want to do it this way. What's the agenda? How do we meet in the middle? There we go. That's the agenda. Doesn't matter how it gets done. It's so much out there that's lost and dying and so many that's lost and dying. It doesn't matter how it gets done. Let's just get it done. We have to have the same agenda. He said, I was giving you the Holy Spirit. You have the doxa, the grace, the dignity, the brilliance, the brightness. We do have the ability to make it happen. We get to verse 23. It's speaking of the Trinity. It's speaking of unity. It's speaking of oneness. It's speaking of togetherness. He says, I in them. And you're in me, that they may be made perfect. Make a note, that's not like perfection, that means complete. God is saying that when I'm in them, you're in me, and then they're complete. I want to read this. I don't know who wrote that. Oh, I wrote it. Okay. It says, read this. Christ is in us and God is in Christ. We have, but is that enough? We got the creator, the one who created it all. Says, I want to be in you. And matter of fact, Christ, who was there with me, who's God, he's in you and I'm in him, the Holy Spirit. And he says, is that enough for you? Isn't that a something? I mean, it's the world that will sell us this stuff where God isn't enough. And as I'm struggling with this, too, you know, I'm like, OK, God, are you enough? What more do I need? So I said, read this. We have El Shaddai, God Almighty, inside of us through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are complete in Christ. Don't buy into the lie that you need something else to be complete. You have the power of God inside of you, the doxa. Here's the challenge. The media, the prince of the power of the air, the deception is strong. The spiritual warfare is real. The devil will have you chasing your tail your whole life, and then you will die incomplete and unfulfilled and go into a Christless eternity, which we call hell. And the devil says, checkmate. That's his plan for you and I. But God. Verse 23, he says, that we may be made perfect in one, same agenda, that the world may know. First, he said that the world might believe in verse 21, but right in 23, right now in 20, he says, not only do they believe, but they need to know. That word to know in the Greek means to have an intimate relationship. So not only do we need to believe that God can do what he said he can do and that we can trust him and commit to him, but we need to have an intimate. We can have an intimate by us being on the same page. We share with people. We're not after a religion. We're after a relationship. And you can have that they may know. But you can have an intimate relationship with God, the one who created everything. That's beautiful. But is that enough? He created the world. He created everything. But I don't know. I might need a little bit more than that. The world needs to know that we can have an intimate relationship with God. Spend time with God. If you're not spending time with God, you have no idea what you're missing. Let me say that again. If you're not spending quality time with God, if we're getting caught up in the distractions, the frustrations, and the temptations, if we're not making time to spend quality time with God, all I can say is you have no idea what you're missing. So then as I'm in my quiet time and my study time this week. So I was reading the Proverbs, and remember, I challenged us. It's been almost 2 years. It'll be 2 years in June. Or did we have that year? We had the retreat in August. It'll be 2 years in August. And we started reading the Proverbs then. I'm trying to lead by example. I'm reading every day. But I've always been reading every day for the past 10, 15 years, even before I became a pastor, because I needed to know I can't do this without God. And remember, it's not a religious thing. Don't make this religious. It's a relationship. If God gives us the doxa, if he gives us the brilliance, the brightness, if he did create everything, then I should want to spend time with him so I could know exactly what he has for my life. Amen. That's why I spend time with God. Not to say, well, I read so much today and then I'm going to read so much. And I prayed for 5 hours last night. Praise the Lord. It's because my life will fall apart without God. And I don't want to be somewhere where God is not. So I'm constantly praying every day and saying, God, will you show me what you have for me? Will you show me why you created me? So I'm reading the Proverbs, and I forget which day it was, but when Tracy came home from work, I was telling her that God gave me two words. He gave me stay and stand as I was studying the Proverbs. He told me, stay away from foolishness and stand in the gap for my kids, for our kids. God said, it's such an attack on our kids these days. Every time you're tempted to do something, start praying for your kids. Stay away from the foolishness and stand in the gap for your kids. Family, I don't know if you realize. I'm not going to ask you, anybody ever seen a kid? I'm not going to ask you that today. I'm not going to do that today, John. I'm not going to say that joke today. All right? But if you're like me and the other families I've talking to recently, it's like the enemy has intensified the attack against our kids. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy. And I'm praying, and God told me, stay. And stand. So every time I thought about something that was, like foolishness and all that, I went right back to praying for Jay. And so I'm issuing the challenge. This is what God was giving me during the study. For our youth. Youth, when you're tempted to do something ungodly, pause and pray. For your parents. Youth, you have no idea how difficult it is to be a parent. The worries, the struggles, the pressure, the frustration, the temptations, and the distractions. Stay and stand. Pause and pray. That's what God is speaking. And I'm telling you, parents, and I know most of your kids in here and you got good kids, I would say that. But the enemy is not playing. He's intensified this attack on our kids, on our marriages, on our families. Some say because it's the last days, his time is running out. Some of us, we've been here a long time. We've never seen it like this. Just so much uncertainty, so much intense spiritual warfare, from the politics to the job to the school, the city. God says, stay and stand. So make a note of that. We're tempted to do something. Start praying for your kids. Start praying for your spouse. And don't give in to that temptation. So we talk about the oneness, being on the same agenda, the same page. Jesus said, when we're one, then other people believe. When we're one, then other people know. I got another read this. Do I really have another read this? All right. The world will know that God has sent Jesus and that God loves us just like God loves Jesus. Make a note of that. Do we really believe that God loves us just like he loved Jesus? Is that what that says? Has loved them. Wow. That the world may know that you have sent me and has loved them. Really? As you have loved me. That's some serious love. But is it enough? But is that enough? And do we really, and if we say it's enough, do we really believe that it's enough? The world will know that God has sent Jesus and that God loves us just like God loves Jesus. Everyone is looking for love in the wrong place. The deception is that love comes from other people. Well, the one who is love and created you and I should know how to love us better than anyone else could possibly love us. Isn't that something? But that's not enough. How do I know it's not enough? Because the irony is that we will turn our back on the one who really loves us for a perverted form of love. Because the enemy and the world and the flesh will tell us that God is not enough. The one who created love, the one who created us says, I love you just like I love Jesus and I want to love you. I want to get to know you. And I'll say, I'm good. I want to go find it somewhere else. And then we will do things in the name of love. Do some crazy stuff in the name of love. Blame God when they fall apart and don't go right and say it's God's fault. It said, read this. That's the only reason I'm reading it. If you and I don't surrender, submit, and commit to God, we will never know. Let me say that again. Listen to this. If you and I don't surrender, submit, and commit to God, we will never know how to love someone else with a committed, sacrificial, godly love. If you and I don't spend intimate time with God, we will not know God well enough to transfer that love to our spouse or anyone else we encounter. If we don't spend intimate time with God, we will not know God well enough to transfer that godly love to our spouse or anyone else we encounter. And then you say, what is love? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, family, if you remember, I told us also to meditate on this daily. So we'll know how to love. We'll know what love is and what love isn't. And I will know how to love you even when you're unlovable. And you'll know how to love me when I'm unlovable. So we'll know what love is and what it isn't. If you haven't added this to your list, family, and I'm not talking a long time, get up 5 minutes earlier, read the Proverbs, meditate on 1 Corinthians 13, and anything else God has put on your heart, any other prayers, Ephesians 3:20, the ones we've been going over, the different prayers when we were focusing in on prayer. I'm telling you, it's the only way that we're going to wash this mind daily, and we're going to be able to live a victorious life in Jesus Christ. Let's pick it up at verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it doesn't profit me anything. So it's talking about sacrifice. You give all your goods. And see, you get people who, because see, after you make a certain amount of money, then you give it away, and they call it, you know, I have these guys that I work with, they're motivational speakers. And they, you see, it's not enough to be a motivational speaker to change lives. Now they're all philanthropists. So I've made so much money, I give it away now. Everybody's trying to work for what God has given for free. But when you get so much, now you got to give it away, and you got to put a title that I'm a motivational speaker, I'm a coach, I'm a speaker, I'm this, and I'm a philanthropist. Wow. And God says right here, you can give all your stuff away. Matter of fact, you can go burn your body up. You go just burn everything up, including your body. And if you don't have the love of God, it doesn't mean anything. You can put on a show for whoever you want to put on a show for. And it's not motivated because you're trying to rescue someone from dying and going to hell. If it doesn't have God's agenda, God is saying you're wasting your time. Then he goes on, he talks about exactly what love is. And then that's, we got to pick it up next week. Oh. Trust me, I want to keep going too. Amen. But let's bow our heads just for a quick minute. Because God has challenged us this morning. Hey, look, God's been challenging me all week, so I ain't going to just let, he just ain't going to challenge me. I got to let y'all be challenged too. Okay? I'm just not going to be the only one getting challenged, getting that fire lit under me. The hard questions asked to me, he's asking me all week. I'm like, well, I'm going to ask them. If they show up this Sunday, I'm going to ask them. Let's bow our head just for a quick minute. Lord, you asked us, are you enough? The doxa, the glory. It's a scripture. You said you will share your glory with no one. But then you said, I will share it with those who were called by my name. I will share my glory with the brilliance, the splendor, the dignity, the excellence, the majesty. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you say, I will share that with you. And then we have to ask ourselves the question, but is that enough? And do I really believe it's enough? Because you can tell by my actions if it's enough. And then God asks the question, do you have my agenda? Are you really concerned with people that are dying daily going to hell like I'm concerned with people that are dying daily and going to hell? Do you have the same agenda? Are you on a rescue mission? He's praying that we would become one family. We have to have the same agenda as Christians. Not denominations, not church, not this, but the same agenda, the rescue mission. So we thank you, Lord, for challenging us. We don't want to be business as usual. We don't want this to just be another day, but we want to be challenged. We want to spend time with you to get to know you so that the world might know and that the world might believe and the world might see that you can actually have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the one who created everything. Lord, help us not to get distracted by the enemy. Oh, it's so tempting to go to the left and to the right. But Lord, you're telling us to stay right on. to stay and to stand, to stay away from foolishness and stand in the gap for our kids, because there's a huge attack on the kids and our youth. And here we are called by your name. If we humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, then you will hear and then you will heal. So God, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of being distracted. We're praying now, Lord. We're thanking and we're blessing you for a second chance. And we love you for that. Maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, elevate your hand. Say, Pastor, I've never accepted the free gift, the rescue mission that God offered. And that's only through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, you can only be sanctified through me. Everything else is just exclusive access to temporary stuff. But in order to be cleansed and to be clean and to get to heaven, the only bridge we can cross to heaven is the bridge of Jesus Christ. That's you, elevate your hand. Maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I just need to get back on track. I need to rededicate. I thank God for a second chance. I thank God that he is enough. I just need to get back on track. We're halfway through, almost halfway through the year. May is just about gone, and it's 2017, and getting ready to step into halfway through in June, halfway through the year. But I want to pause and I want to rededicate this morning. If that's you, elevate your hand. Maybe you're here, you're looking for a church home, and you say, Pastor, I've been visiting. I just want to make it official. I thank God that I can come to a place where there's no games and no tricks and no gimmicks. We're just giving the word. We're worshiping God. We love God. We love God's people, and we're just giving the word. And we're growing, and then we're going. We're growing and going. Same agenda. It's a world out there that needs us desperately. That's you, you're looking for a church home, elevate your hand. We'd love to make you part of the family of South Bay Abundant Life Church. You're already part of God's family. I'm going to ask my two brothers to come up, Chris and Bernie, stand right here. We love you, Lord. We bless you. Going to ask my men to come and surround my brothers right here as they come up for rededication. Thank God for strong men. Men that will have your back and not stab you in the back. Men that would cover you and pray for you and not play with your life. Lord, I'm so blessed and so thankful just to have these strong men right here. And then my brother Bernie and brother Chris, Lord, who just comes for rededication. Matter of fact, Lord, we're standing here and we all know we need to rededicate. Yes, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for a second chance. Lord, forgive us of our sins that we commit knowingly and unknowingly, tried to pretend didn't happen, tried to cover up. Lord, we just come clean. As you already know, Lord, you know what we stand in need of.
Yes.
So we're asking for your strength, Lord, that we would stand in a gap. We would stay away from foolishness and stand in the gap for our kids. We don't want to lose our kids. When we're committing foolishness, who's covering our kids? As men of God that you've called us to be, Lord, we commit today to stay and to stand and to pause and to pray. Pause on the foolishness and pray for our kids. Pray for our wives. Pray for our marriage, Lord. Leave the details to you, but we're going to stay and stand, pause and pray right now. So we ask as men, individually and collectively, forgive us for falling short and not being the men that you've called us to be.
Yes.
For getting distracted and letting the world paint a picture that attracted us, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for this second chance, third, fourth, fifth. And thank you that new mercies greeted us this morning.
Yes.
And that's your word. We thank you that there is no condemnation to them that is in Christ who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Thank you, Lord. You don't condemn us. You said you didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through you might be saved. So, Lord, we cast all our cares upon you. We're not going to walk around in condemnation and guilt and shame. Lord, that's a trick and a lie of the enemy, the father of lies. Yes. We stand strong in the doxa. We stand strong as treasures, the special treasures that you created. Yes. We thank you for a second chance. We will be the men that you've called us to be. We will live for you like you've called us to live. We commit to praying for one another, yes. Standing in the gap for one another. We thank you for the new mercies, Lord. We thank you that by grace are we saved through faith. It is a gift of God. We could never work for it or brag about it. Yes, yes. All we can do is humble ourselves and receive it and say, thank you, thank Jesus. You, Lord. Yes. Pray a special blessing on Chris and on Bernie, Lord. Yes. They're rededicating to you, yes. Not to a church, not to a group of men, but to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yes. Cover and keep them, bless them. Yes. Yes. Wives, children, and family, pray a blessing on them as well. Yes. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, thanks for that.
Love you, man.
All right, I'll see you a little bit later after your guys' meeting.
You got it. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Give someone a hug. We thank God that he's come to give us life and that more abundantly. In Jesus' name, you are dismissed.